Hello and welcome to She Talks, the radio show making a difference in communication. So get in on the conversation. I'm your host, Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday of Real Talk. Y'all ready to get real? Well, I am. So let's get this show started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to She Talk Radio. We have with us today Chai T. Mathias Reed. She's a vocalist, speaker, and a producer. And there's a lot more that she does that we'll find out about today. And in addition to that, she has a touching story that she's going to share with us. And she has some upcoming events that she will tell us about. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Hello, this is Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday of She Talk Radio and Television. And as you know, I speak out against domestic violence on my show. Well, I've been given this privilege on another platform. I will be the guest speaker at the 3rd Annual Celebrity Purple Raindrops and Masquerade Ball. This event will benefit and honor domestic violence victims and survivors. Come out and show your support on October 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the Cleveland L. Denard Conference. Let's be a symphony of voices against the violence.
Do you have your own radio show or aspire to have your own? Legacy Radio Network has opportunities for you to host your own show and to broaden your audience. Like us on Facebook and get connected to the legacy.
She Talk Radio and Television is giving our young ladies a voice to discuss topics of interest to them. The international search is on. She Talk seeks Girl Talk intern hosts from 11 to 25. For details, email girltalk@shetalkradio.com. We're taking submissions now. Hello. If you've just joined us, you listen to She Talk Radio. Get in on the conversation. Hello, everybody. If you're just joining, we have Chai T. Mathias Reed with us. Chai, welcome to She Talk Radio. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. We are very, very blessed to have you here today. Why don't you briefly introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, my name is Chai, like the tea, and I'm a purposepreneur. I use my voice to inspire, empower, and transform lives. As a visionary, spokeswoman, and two-time champion overcomer of domestic violence.
Wow. Okay. Tell me something. You and I had a conversation, and you wanted this particular episode of She Talk Radio to be called Breaking the Cycle. Can you give us some detail or some clarification around why the title?
Well, first and foremost, as we know, a lot of cycles happen in our lives, whether it's the cycle of financial lack, whether it's the cycle of, teenage pregnancy, or the cycle of drug addiction or alcoholism in our families. And abuse is also a cycle. And I decided after my experience in life that I was going to be a cycle breaker. And I was going to break the cycle not just for myself, but for my daughters. And then eventually for hundreds and thousands of daughters that I've connected with over the years. And to be a cycle breaker just means you need to be observant. You need to be strong. You need to communicate your truth. You need to understand the process of breaking the cycle. And then at that point, you'll be empowered to move on with your life and to move forward with your life. And so it's really just that simple.
Okay. And you're using the arts to be able to do that. And you created something called For Our Daughters, Breaking the Cycle of Domestic Violence Through the Arts. Can you tell me how, in your personal opinion, how the arts can assist us in breaking the cycle? How are you using that to facilitate breaking the cycle?
Well, as a survivor and an overcomer of domestic violence, I know firsthand how liberating music and the creative arts is on the soul and the spirit. I'm a musician and a vocalist, And I've seen how my involvement in the arts has personally transformed my life, as well as over the years, the children that I've been able to service as a music teacher, how it's been able to transform their lives. It has been very instrumental in therapy amongst, you know, children who have gone through any type of traumatic experience. And even as you know, now today, we hear about a lot of hospitals, especially children's hospitals, that actually have music therapists on staff. So it is clinically proven that music does affect and enrich the soul. It gives you a creative outlet. It gives you the ability to create the future that you want and the canvas that you want, if you will, for your future, as opposed to accepting the reality of what you might be facing today.
Yeah, it makes sense. Music is therapeutic. My daughter also uses her music to, in a way, kind of vent the words or the conversation you would like to have with someone. You can put it in your music, and you can also take your emotions and put it into your music. Actually, it, I believe it puts more meaning and more feeling in your music. The event that you have scheduled, can you tell us when that event is, where it is, and what time?
Yeah, so the fourth annual signature big benefit concert for our daughters, where we are breaking the cycle of domestic violence through the arts, will take place on Sunday, October 23rd at the Marietta Theater, or the Marietta's New Theater in the Square. That's the way they like to say it because that's how it's listed. And that address is 11 Whitlock Avenue, Northwest in Marietta, Georgia. You can purchase tickets online at chaitimathias.com, or you can purchase tickets through the theater box office at 770-426-4800.
And now, Chai has agreed to also come online and send us a commercial. I'm saying this publicly because I'm holding you to it, Chai, to give us a commercial so we can, because we still have some time. I want to make sure everybody knows about this event because it's very, very important that we all are aware of events that are going on out there that can help us to do better, to know better, and to feel better. So this is very important because it's for our daughters. Now, speaking of our daughters, my daughter, Kalaipa Ray, will be performing there. She's going to be singing her song, Unwanted Daughter. Now, her song, Unwanted Daughter, concentrates on her growing up without her father and the things that she had to deal with. And so she puts her emotion into her music, too. So I know firsthand that music does help the situation. Okay? Want you guys to show up. And we're also going to be covering the providing media coverage for that event. Now, Chai, you do a lot of different things. You are a vocalist. You are a songwriter. You've been a vocal coach and a music teacher. Are you teaching music right now, or this is something you've done in the past?
I'm not teaching at this present moment because I decided to focus on finishing a CD project that's kind of been in my heart for a long time. And in order for me to really focus on that, I can't teach and and create at the same time. It's very difficult to do. So I ended the semester last school year at my music school and decided to, you know, put other instructors in place to kind of carry out the work that I've started. So that I can focus on being the vocalist and the songwriter and the author and the speaker. And so, you know, I kind of teach indirectly with my daughters. But not directly, not as hands-on as I did in previous years.
Okay. You have a independent music company and also a publishing company.
Yep.
And between the two of these, you were able to produce your album. Can you tell us about the album that you have?
Oh, yeah. So my very first CD project is called Divine Transformation, His Grace, My Testimony. And so after a series of experiences, everybody would hear my voice and say, you need to go on American Idol. You need to go on The Voice. You need to do Sunday Best. You know, I did that. I actually went and auditioned for several of those things. And, you know, that wasn't the path that God had in store for me. And so as opposed to waiting on someone to give me an opportunity or give me a record deal, I decided to create the path myself. And so I did all my homework. I learned about BMI and ASCAP publishing, and I learned about how to become an independent artist and, you know, how to identify or recruit or hire a producer. So I retained a producer. We produced 5 of the songs that I actually originally wrote on this EP project. We recorded it. I had it pressed up and sold it out the trunk of my car and at events and everywhere I went where I would speak and where I would sing, I would sell CDs. And so that was my very first CD project. And so that was probably my most proudest moment because it told me, number one, you can be who you were created to be, whether or not you feel like you have the resources or the help or even the money that you think you need in order to get it done. So it was just something that was a very monumental point in my life.
Now, that is an example of on-the-job experience. That's on-the-job training. You learned how to do it as you went along doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what is going on today when it comes to the music business is a lot more people are doing that. Not everybody can get those big recording contracts or those big labels to fund their efforts. And so they have to basically fund it themselves. They have to get their team of people behind them. And a lot of times you got to get people to believe in you. But the thing about it is, before you can get somebody to believe in you, you got to believe in yourself. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Exactly. But the thing is, there's a lot of things that you've gone through. Now, we haven't gone through the list of things that you've gone through yet, but we've identified for the listeners some of the things that you have accomplished despite the turmoil and the things that you've gone through your life. So before we go ahead and get started with your story, because I don't want to break your story up with a commercial break. I want you to be able to tell your story nonstop and get all the way through the story before I don't want to interrupt you. So what I'm going to do is take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come right back. And what she's going to do is she's going to share with us the story she came here to tell us about. She didn't just come here to tell you about what she accomplished. She also came here to tell you about what she went through that made her the woman that she's become today to accomplish what she's accomplished in her life so far, because she ain't done yet. Well, let's take this quick commercial break, and then I'll continue my sermon when we get back.
She Talk Radio and Television is a show created, produced, and hosted by women for women. We are now on Monday through Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. So don't miss your daily dose of She Talk. Call 713-955-0481. Or listen at blogtalkradio.com/SheTalkRadio to get in on the conversation.
Are you looking for a wholesome cultural event for the whole family on a Friday night? Then you need to check out the Spoken Word Experience at Kingdom Cafe, located at 2610 Jefferson Street. This event is every fourth Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's an open mic event. No cover charge. Just patronize the restaurant. We need spoken word artists, singers, and even comedians. The next event is Friday, August the 26th. For more information, you can reach out to Taomi Ray at www.facebook.com/Taomi3000. Again, that's www.facebook.com/Taomi3000.
Hello, this is Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday, and host of the Real Talk segment of She Talk Radio and Television. I want to encourage you all to tune in every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. All you have to do is call 713-955-0481. Or you could listen on any mobile device at blogtalkradio.com/SheTalkRadio. Get in on the conversation and let's get real. Hello. If you've just joined us, you listen to She Talk Radio. Get in on the conversation. Hi, guys. We are back and we are with Chai T. Mathias. I got the name right. Aren't you proud of me?
I am. You got it.
Okay. You know, there are so many people out there. We go through a lot of things. But what we need to know is that despite what we've gone through, we cannot and we should refuse to use it as an excuse not to move forward in our life, not to make progress in our life, and not to affect people in a positive manner. You have taken some very, very devastating, very, very dramatic experiences that you've gone through, and you basically taken some lemons and made some sweet, sweet lemonade, okay? But yes, I'm not going to tell your story. I'm going to let you tell the story. So can you start off and let us know what the story is, and we'll give you our undivided attention.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to share my story. I really appreciate it. Recently, my husband asked me a question. He said, "Honey, why do you do what you do?" And when he asked me that question, I kind of pondered that thought. You know, of course, I had my answer already ready, but I really wanted to explain my why. And so I want to go back not even to the most prominent, you know, incident that most people have heard, but I want to go back even further. I remember growing up, I was an only child. I have two other siblings, but I was raised as an only child by a single mother. And I remember enduring some physical abuse by my mother. I also remember witnessing my mother in a series of abusive relationships. And those relationships and those experiences that I had at the hands of my mother affected me as a child. And, of course, I didn't know it then like I know it now. But then as we move forward in life, not knowing that the internal scars and the internal wounds are affecting us, we kind of just keep moving through life the best way we can. And so by this time, I'm a freshman in high school. I have a little brother. My mother has gotten married by this time. And, you know, you would think life is going to be good. You know, life is normal now. But one night, my stepfather walked into my bedroom with a knife in his hand, covered in blood, and began to order me to do things that no stepfather should order his stepdaughter to do. I resisted his request, and so he attempted to steal my innocence. Though his attempt was futile, what he decided to do is take that blood-covered knife and stick it in the side of my neck, nicking my jugular vein. And I began to fight for my life with everything that I had on the inside of me. In the end, I ended up with 13 stab wounds, beaten beyond recognition. I remember that night telling my stepfather as I was fighting for my life because I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember telling him that my father, meaning my heavenly father, is not going to let you take my life. So you should just tie me up and leave me to die. I remember saying those words to him, and he complied with that. He tied me up, he put me in the bathroom, and basically left me there to die. And so that as I'm laying there on that bathroom floor, bleeding to death, not knowing what just happened, I went to bed on a Sunday night after watching Father of the Bride on TV, preparing to get up to go to school like a regular freshman in high school would do. I laid there afraid to move, afraid to run, afraid to leave the bathroom. But I heard the voice of my Father, the Holy Spirit, my Father God, say to me, "Daughter, you have to get up from this place." And he said it a number of times until I literally found the strength to stand on my feet and to leave that bathroom. I left that bathroom. I went to the kitchen as best as I could and grabbed a butcher knife because I said if my stepfather was still there and he was going to attack me, I was going to defend myself. Went next door to the neighbor's house, banged on the door as hard as I could because I couldn't speak, because I had the jugular vein nick, I had the internal bleeding. Of course, I didn't know that at the time, but I knew I was in bad shape. And the neighbor came to the door, hysterical, after she saw this child bleeding to death at her door. She took me in, wrapped me in blankets, called 911, went to the neighbors to find out what had happened to my mother. She's like, where's your mother? Where's your brother? She came back hysterical again. She asked me, where's your little brother? And then I told her, I just shook my head. I said, I don't know. So she went back to our home and came back with my little brother in her hands. He hadn't been affected or he hadn't been harmed in any way. When the paramedics arrived, they asked me a series of questions that I could not answer. They strapped me to a gurney to take me out to, I'm assuming, the hospital. And I don't remember anything after that. But what I do remember is waking up in the hospital and my grandmother standing over me saying, Chai, you're going to be okay. I remember her telling me that my mother was dead and that I was about to go into emergency surgery and that she was going to get the prayer warriors and the intercessors on the line and that she would see me when I came out of surgery. And so I remember coming to and waking up in a hospital room, afraid, scared for my life. I don't know what happened. I don't know how I got through that, but I was still here. I was still on this earth. And I remember, as you know, after I buried my mother, only to find out that my stepfather had murdered her, stabbed her 32 times in cold blood. So it should have been a double homicide that night, but I survived. I remember after burying her, my grandmother keeping me covered in prayer and keeping me surrounded by women of God who kept me covered in prayer. And I remember even at a very young age, as early as 15, becoming a young evangelist, going to different churches, testifying about how my life was spared because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I always would share my story about how God spared my life. And I didn't understand at that time when all the people would come up to me and say, God has a mighty plan for your life. He spared your life for a reason. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. And I didn't understand what his plan was, but I believed it in my heart. And I didn't know what my journey would be like going forward, but I believe that God had a plan, and I've always believed that he's had a plan. And so even after enduring 13 stab wounds, being beat beyond recognition, losing my mother, being separated from my baby brother because he went to live with an uncle, and I stayed with my grandmother after that, and going through high school and making, you know, some basic high school decisions, you know, that most high school girls have, nothing prepared me for entering into a marriage that wasn't healthy. When we talk about cycles, when you haven't taken the time to be healed from any emotional wounds, from any scars, you know, physical scars heal. You know, you look at me today and there's no scars. I have to show you. I have to point out where the stab wounds are. You wouldn't notice it. You wouldn't see it because my body healed in an amazing way, a miraculous way. I actually have to point them out. But the emotional wounds take time to heal. And what happens with cycles is if you don't take the time to heal from emotional wounds, you tend to attract the very thing that you don't want. Mm-hmm. And so in my 20s, I made a very difficult, actually a very bad decision. I didn't know that then, but I made a decision to marry young and to, you know, have two beautiful daughters, which I love. And only to find out that the man that I had married was not the man that I thought he was. He eventually would become physically abusive to me as well. And because of my childhood, because of the trauma, because of the experience that I had, I didn't want my daughters to grow up in a situation like that. And so I decided to leave that marriage and become a single mom, just like my mother. When my daughters were very young, they were like 4 and 2 at the time. But I didn't look back. I knew that that wasn't the life that God had spared my life for. I knew that although I had made some decisions along the way that I wasn't happy with or even proud of, that God still had a plan for my future. And it was up to me to discover what that was. It was up to me to discover what that was. And I couldn't make excuses. I had to heal from the pain. I had to heal from the past. but I had to move forward. No matter how hard it was, no matter how many mistakes I made, even as a single mother, no matter what poor choices I may have made because of the lack of parental guidance, I still moved forward. I still was determined to be the woman that God had spared my life to be, because I knew that He did not spare my life for me to be anybody's punching bag. He did not spare my life for me to be mediocre. He did not spare my life just for me. He spared my life so that I could be a witness and a testimony to somebody else that might be going through something similar, that thinks that they can't see their way through it, that all hope is lost. They don't think that they can ever rebuild and restore their lives after great financial tragedy, or I'm leaving, you know, my husband and he's the one that makes all the money. What am I going to do without him? I'm here to tell you that there is nothing that you cannot do, and that you are more than a conqueror, because what's on the inside of you is greater than anything on the outside of you. And that's what I had to hold on to and draw from. I call it my inward fortitude. It was my inward fortitude. It was that determination on the inside that I was going to be who God had preordained me to be before the foundation of this world, despite any situation or any circumstance that life had dealt me, you know. And that's kind of, you know, where I am today. I am still pressing forward, still persevering, you know, by doing these benefit concerts to shed light, to share my hope, to share my story, to share my song, because I know that every woman that I meet, she has a story too. I'm not the only one that has a story, but what makes me different is the fact that I took my story and I turned it into something good, and I didn't allow, like you said, my past to dictate my future.
Right, and that is one of your mottos. You're basically saying that your past does not dictate what your future is.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that sometimes we have people that come into our lives, they intend to harm us. They want to hurt us. And then God takes the hurt and the harm that they impress upon us, and He takes it and He makes it into something where He gets His glory out of it.
That's
isn't that
right.
Something? Isn't that a miracle how He can take something so ugly and so nasty and so evil and take it and make it something beautiful and powerful, and have us have a story that we can share to empower our brothers and sisters, so that whatever they're going through, they see that you went through it. You are successful. You did not end your life, because there are some choices that people are making that are not the right choice. Suicide is never the answer.
But
you chose to live your life and to be an example to other people. And I have got to tell you that that is something that you should be proud of, what you've done, what you've overcome. I know in my life, you know, one thing I like about being a talk show host is I get to share my story too. So because I can share something, because a lot of times, you know, when I was growing up, my stepfather said things, and there were things I've already shared those things. But the one thing he said to me that stuck with me was he said, "You will never be anything. You ain't going to be nothing." That's what he told me. But you know what? He told me that. That hurt me. It embarrassed me because he said it in front of people. But I took that and I said, I got to prove him wrong. I wasn't doing it for myself. I was doing it to hurt him. But it's okay, because it ended up being a good thing. I used that as a driver to do better. I used it as a driver to not stop me. And I believe, based upon your story, that's what you use. You use that to motivate you, to drive you, because you know that God has spared your life for a reason. You had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really was happening with you. And I like the fact that you didn't let it stop you. Tell me, were there thoughts that you had? I mean, it didn't happen and then all of a sudden you start doing all these things. What things that you go did you go through? Did you doubt yourself? Did you question your purpose at any point? What questions did you have?
Oh, yeah. The very first question I asked is, why would God spare my life and not my mother? You know, why would he allow me to be left here? And what was so amazing that he had for me to do? And then, of course, as you go through life and you don't see the manifestation of what you think is amazing or what you think is purpose, then you start to doubt if, you know, God really does have a plan for your life. I just remember, you know, especially when you start making mistakes, you know, and you're not doing things right and you don't have the resources you need and you don't have the support that you need, you start to doubt yourself, you start to doubt God, you start to doubt people, and you wish some days that, you know, you were not there. You do. You wish for some days that you could just crawl up in a ball and disappear. Yes, I've had those days. But again, there was something on the inside of me, that inward fortitude, the power of the Holy Spirit, that inward strength that would rise up and say, no, today is not the day that you die. There is too much work for you to be done. And so it was a series of years of growth and development for me personally, you know, counseling, therapy, friendships, reading, seeking out help and the things that I needed to move forward. Every year I set goals for myself, every single year. And when I accomplished those goals, they didn't have to be really big goals, you know. They could be very small goals. But when I accomplished those goals, I knew that I was moving forward. And every year I would accomplish greater and greater goals, whether it was to get a job making X amount of dollars, whether it was to buy a car, whether it was just to you know, make sure that the girls got to the seventh grade. Whatever it was that year, that was the goal that I set, and I continued to move forward. And I continue to move forward despite any challenges that face me.
You know, Chai T, we have a caller that's coming in that has a question. I think it's Frankie. Let me check.
Okay.
She Talk Radio.
Hi, Ruby. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing? This is Frankie, right?
This is, I'm not, you know me.
Well, you know Frankie. You dial in at a different number every time. Frankie is our ghost host. She is anonymous.
Oh, okay.
And she calls in from time to time whenever she wants to get in on the conversation. So since you raised
Thanks,
your
Frankie.
Hand, then obviously you must have a question.
And obviously you're long-winded again. But I digress.
Okay.
I would like to applaud the show today. It is great. It's emotional, but it's also inspirational. And just like a lot of women out there, we've all experienced things, whether we've told anyone or not. And I applaud your strength, and I applaud you taking the pain and using it. You know, a lot of us, and I speak for me, we take it and we become the victim of that pain, and we feel sorry, and we want everybody to feel sorry for ourselves instead of, like you and like Ruby, you take that and you use it for a positive. But my question is, you can take it and you can use that negativity and those trials and those tribulations and do a positive. But that hurt and that pain, you know that saying, I forgive you, but I won't forget you? How do you get to that, I want to forgive it, and I do want to forget it, because it does bring up feelings and emotions. Even though you forgive them, you don't want to continue. Remember, every time something comes up, it triggers it. And, you know, that's how we do. We'll say, okay, baby, I forgive you for what you did. And the minute you do something that resembles, remember you did this, remember you did that. So how do you really, other than, I know prayer helps, but what can I physically, on the physical here, do to help myself get over some of the pain?
Well, it's a good old self-talk. Once you're able to identify what those mental and emotional triggers are, when those things start to come up, you have to talk to yourself. You have to purpose in your heart that these will no longer be triggers in my life. These things will no longer keep me from moving forward. Because every time a roadblock comes up, I look at those emotional and mental and psychological triggers as roadblocks. Every time a roadblock comes up, you have to make a decision on whether or not or how you're actually going to clear that roadblock. So that's the first thing. You have to identify what those triggers are. Once you identify those triggers and you know what actually pushes that button, then you have to come up with a coping skill to deal with that particular trigger. And
Not avoidance. That's not a good coping.
No,
if you know how when you get in that argument, you try, okay, well, I'm going to just avoid it. I'm going to just get away.
No. A big part of it is speaking your truth sometimes, but it's the how you speak your truth. And so if someone pushes an emotional trigger and you have a relationship with them, you say, you know what? Whenever you say or do this particular thing, it brings this up in me. It causes me to feel like this because of this. And I know that that is not the intention that you are setting out to hurt me. I know that you wouldn't want to hurt me, but I'm telling you this is my truth. So one thing I'm asking you to do is, number one, to try your best not to do that, not to say that, right, number one. But number two, when that does happen, I know within myself that's an emotional trigger. I need to breathe and not respond first. Okay.
So yeah, that's hard. That's hard. Especially when you think you're right.
Yeah, we want to pop off the mouth.
I'll be 99.9% of the time, I'm right.
Well, most of us are. Most of us are right, but there are certain self, I call it just good old self-control, and knowing yourself, you know, knowing what you need to do, because, you know, the truth of the matter is, as we continue to grow and go through life, there's going to be people that you meet that don't even know who you are that is going to push an emotional trigger in your life. And you can't pop off and respond to them that way. You have self-control when you're dealing with a stranger or if you're boss.
Yeah,
you
but
so
when
right.
you know them,
you
sometimes
so
sometimes
right.
it ain't a deep enough breath. You can take the whole electric path of yourself.
But you have to kind of look at it. It's something that you have to train yourself to do. Because and it's also a respect thing. You know, if you give respect, you'll get respect. And if you also speak and communicate your truth to that person and that person knows that that's an emotional trigger or a mental trigger in your life, if they love you enough, then they'll do their absolute best not to do that to you.
Shine,
yes.
I hear what you're saying. This is Ruby. I hear what you're saying. Okay. And I believe that when you are dealing with a normal person, that
right.
will probably be the appropriate approach to take with them. But what if you're dealing with someone who knows your triggers? They pull those triggers because they are trying to evoke anger and pain in a negative response in you. When you know they're doing it on purpose to hurt you, then how do you deal with that?
Well, you leave the relationship. It's really that simple. That relationship no longer validates or values you as a person. So the question I would ask you is, why are you in it? Because if a person doesn't value you emotionally and spiritually and doesn't want to see you happy and whole, why would you be in that relationship at all? Again, it goes down to choice.
Yeah.
to choice. I mean, when you know you and you know what you want and you know who you are and you're confident and you're strong in who you are, you're not going to, number one, tolerate somebody to continue to abuse you. That's called emotional abuse and that's called mental abuse. A lot of times we hear about the physical scars of physical abuse, but there's also emotional abuse and mental abuse. And if a person is intentionally pushing your triggers because they want to get a rise out of you, that's not a relationship you need to be in, whether it's male or female, whether it's a girlfriend or whether it's a significant other.
Shy, we have another caller who wants to get in. Hold a second.
Okay.
She Talk Radio, get in on the conversation. The person
hey,
with
4484.
Yes?
Yes. Thanks for having me on your show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
what's
and I wanted
name?
To join in on. My name's Black Gladiator.
Black Gladiator, okay. Did you have a question?
Yes, I had a question and a comment. Is it okay if I start with my comment first?
Sure.
I think that what you were saying was totally correct about, you know, the women and the men. I think that basically my approach on it is not for every female, just from my experiences. I think that a lot of females take a form. I think a lot of females, they basically since they never approach properly and since they never let the man approach them properly, they take a form into their own rape. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is that if the woman's heart is not open and there's no energy down in her vagina, excuse me for talking like this, but there's no energy down in her vagina, then you started a force entry where there's no entry at. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I don't understand it either. I'm sorry. But
okay,
you're entitled to your opinion. So what's the question that you have?
The question that I have is, do you women think that you give up on men before you even meet one?
Do we give up on men before we meet one? No. My brother, what you need to understand is a lot of times we go through a lot with men, okay? And we know that it's not all men. We know it is just some. But here's the thing, and this is what Shai was trying to communicate or make a point on, is that sometimes when we go through something, we have to give ourselves time to heal. Because if we move into a relationship without allowing ourselves to heal, we will attract the same type of energy in a man.
Yes.
So we have
yes.
to heal from it. It ain't every man. It's just that we haven't allowed ourselves to be free from the magnet that we've created within ourselves. We become bum magnets. And I know Frankie knows what I'm talking about. We got to give ourselves time to pull away from whatever it is that we have within ourselves that attracted that kind of man. That's all we're saying. And so,
can I ask you a question?
Just to let you guys know that Chai has a happy ending. And it's not an ending. It's a new beginning. Because despite what she went through with what happened to her, what her stepfather did to her and what her stepfather did to her mother, is that she was able to, and Chai, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm trying to remember the story, that you actually was able to remarry.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yep, so I'm remarried.
This last time, right? And it's been successful, correct?
Yes, yes, it is. It's very successful.
Okay, my question for you, Chai, because I'm changing the topic. I'm spinning it around to get to something that we women really need to know. Now, when you grow up in a household where you've been approached by your stepfather for some unnatural demands, and when you grow up in a home in which your stepfather has abused your mother, has actually killed your mother, how do you get yourself to the point where you can trust a man enough to marry him knowing that you have daughters? How do you get to that point where you know you're creating a situation where there's a stepfather in the home again? How do you overcome that?
Well, the first thing is I had to do the self work. You know, I had to do the healing work. I had to do the personal transformation work. I had to identify what my triggers were. I had to identify whatever unresolved issues in my heart that I had first. And I had to surrender a lot of things to God. I spent a lot of time in prayer and fasting. I always desired to be remarried because it wasn't my desire to raise my daughters by myself. I left my first marriage because of domestic violence. So it was never my desire to be a single mother. I had already purposed in my heart that I was going to be a cycle breaker, even with parenting. But when that situation happened, I still desire to be married again, but I did not want to attract the same type of person that I had married the first time. So, of course, through trial and error, through some light dating over the years, I realized that I was still attracting the same type of person. I said, okay, there is something going on with me that I need to get to the root of. And so what I did is I started doing the work. I started doing the emotional work. I started doing the transformation, the personal transformative work. Hold on 1 second. I had to do the personal transformative work within myself so that I could attract the person that I wanted and not attract the person that I didn't want. Mm-hmm. And so through, like I said, prayer and through fasting and through seeking God for wisdom and allowing him to help me and allowing him to
lead, guide, and direct me, I was able to make a better choice. My daughter just walked in the room. She's banging on the door. I'm sorry. I thought it was an emergency. She kind of got there for a second. So that's how I was able to make that choice. And then, of course, prior to, you know, agreeing to marry, I had to do my homework on him. You know, I had to vet him. I had to vet him. Mm-hmm. I had to take him to my spiritual parents to get to know him as well. I had to introduce him to my family. I had to pray and I had to fast. I had to do a lot of work to even trust him in my life and in the lives of my daughters. And so, you know, everybody's situation will be different, but you know when something's not right. You have to be very conscious. And I also had to allow my daughters to help me with that process. You know, if they felt like he was creepy or if they felt like, you know, they felt anytime they felt, if they felt anything uncomfortable about him, they would let me know that. So they had a lot to do with that process as well. So
you
it's
know
not
what?
A cookie. Yeah.
I agree with you on that. We have got to give our children more credit because my daughter has always been right. Whenever a man came into my life, and she's like, Mom, I don't like him. I'm like, but you don't even know him. But, Mom,
know.
It just ain't right. And she has been right every single time. So, ladies, listening to this call, you have got to keep an open mind and an open ear to what your children have to say. They are sensing things that we are not allowing ourselves to sense. We are not allowing ourselves to see things. It's right before our eyes, but we crave this comfort. We crave this attention that we have been missing. And sometimes we put aside these indications, the indicators that
the red
are within
flag.
Us because we think, we make up all kind of excuses. You know? So we need to listen to those inner triggers, those inner signs that let us know. This ain't the right man. And our kids are a good indication.
Yeah, and you know what? We women see it. We ain't missing nothing. We see it. We don't want it to be true.
Because
we want that man. We want that man, and maybe I can fix some things that's wrong.
Yeah.
You see it just like your child see it. Call it like it is now. You see it, but you want that man, or you having fun doing whatever the other stuff is that you're doing. So you want to keep him. So you ignoring. You ain't not seeing. You ignoring.
Well,
You're not making a healthy choice. And see, when people do that, when they ignore the warning signs and when they ignore the things that are right in front of them, they're not making decisions from a healthy place. And that alone tells me that you need help, that you need therapy, that you need to actually go through a process. And I know what that's like. I know what it's like to make decisions from a place that's not pure. And you think that you're healed and you think that you're whole, but when you look up and you're attracting the same person that you've always attracted, then that's the indicator that something in you has not changed. You have to do the self work first, you know. And so if you are out here doing any and everything with a person that is not your husband, number one, which we completely teach against, then that's what you're going to attract. You have to set a standard and you have to make a person rise to the occasion instead of, you know, stooping down to their level, you know, and that's really important for women to really understand. They really need to understand that they have to make decisions from a pure place, a place of healing and a place of wholeness, not a place of I just want somebody to keep me company and keep me warm and I don't want to be alone. That's not the reason that you invite people into your home. It's not the reason you do that.
That is fantastic. Do you think that you would be able to come back on the show at some point and maybe do some counseling online for women who are having problems? Maybe we are constantly attracting the wrong man, or maybe we're having problems moving forward with the man who may actually be the right man. You think maybe you can do that for us sometime, maybe have conversations with us? And then also what I want you to do is I want to mention to everybody that we have what we call the Buck Naked Truth every first Sunday of every month. And Chai T. Mathias is going to be on the show this next time, and she's going to be sharing her story with us. And it's a very, very powerful story, and I like the fact that she has a happy new beginning with her story. I don't like to say happy endings because it's still going on. So, Chai, how does anyone get a hold of you to maybe attend some of your events, to keep track of what events you got going, where your speaking engagements are, and if they want to follow up with you on your music and everything.
Yeah, so you can always visit chaitmathias.com. That's my website. And, of course, telephone number where I can be reached is 678-310-9757. Again, that number is 678-310-9757. And I invite you all to attend the fourth annual For Our Daughters Benefit Concert, where we're breaking the cycle of domestic violence through the arts. And there will be some other programming that we will be doing in February for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. So it doesn't stop in October. Domestic violence is not just something that happens in October. The work that I do, I'm an advocate every day. And I, you know, I've always been a very private advocate, women one-on-one, because it's a very private matter. It's not a matter to, you know, take lightly. It's not something that we need to make mockery of. It's very, very serious. Children are being impacted and affected by domestic violence. Cycles are continuing to be, you know, perpetuated as a result of us not making healthier choices and not getting the help that we need emotionally, spiritually, psychologically in order to make better choices. And so, you know, I hope that, you know, not only in October that we bring awareness to this important cause, but every day that we bring awareness to the cause of women being healthy and being whole. And, you know, setting a different standard for themselves so that they can attract the things that they want and not the things that they don't want.
You know, Chai, I like the fact that you made the point that this is something, this is an everyday type situation we need to be dealing with. This is not something that you just dedicate 1 month and then you go about your business until the next year. This is an everyday thing that we need to be dealing with, and Chai T. Mathias is taking this thing. She deals with it every day. She's lived with it, and now she's sharing her story, and she's also having events that's going to be used to educate us all on this situation. We are going to thank you so much for being with us, Chai. We are going to transition. This is not the end of the show, everybody. This is not the end of the show. We're going to transition over to the Indie Artist Spotlight, which the spotlight today goes to Poker Jones, and we think you'll enjoy his song, Counting All My Blessings.
Poker, counting all my blessings. One thing in the air, if you know you blessed.
I'm counting all my blessings, counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. Counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, I'm Poker Jones and I'm blessed. Told the game I'm next. Home kitchen with the bodybuilders, no Poker Jones on flex. I'm out to count my blessings, cause you don't know when the next. My brother just did 15 years, he coming home. Bless it. My best friend tried to do me in, and I seen it coming, then stress it. But I cut it off before he could. That's what you call a blessing. Everybody ain't your friend. Finding out is a blessing. Some folks try to use you up, they think you they blessing. Man, love people hard to find. Finding some is a blessing. They'll keep it real in your face, but behind your back they mess. When Black died, I scarred my cross and I gave to him the blessing. I told him, could no matter what, I'ma help the fam, I bless them.
I'm counting all my blessings. 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 Counting all my blessings, I'm counting all my blessings.
If you don't think life is a blessing, that mean we ain't on the same team. You ain't seen the things that I seen. I turned nightmares into dreams. We got put out the house, whole family. I thank God was just trying to test us, cause that made us strong and that brung us closer. That's what you call a blessing. I wasn't born with it, I had to get it. All the money was a blessing.
Small money was a blessing, okay. But that tall money, blessing.
Amen.
My sister about to have surgery.
Dang.
I told her don't even worry,
okay.
She told me I ain't even stressing. I'm counting all my blessings. I salute the super do what they do that ain't out here just flexing. Everybody ain't a hustler. Being one is a blessing. Dropped out of school in 11th grade. I told him I don't need no lesson. Before grandma died, she told me go on back. That's what you call a blessing.
I'm counting all my blessings. 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 I'm counting all my blessings.
Hey, I'm helping you, you ain't helping me. You better recognize your blessing. That's a true sentence with no period on it, no explanations or questions. And I put that on this gold watch, this gold ring in my necklace. I'm money machine investing. I'm counting all my blessings. My uncle just stopped smoking dope. He need rehab testing. Now he getting money like a Mexican. That's what's called a blessing. I hate a job is a hate. I don't deal with them, they trash it. We ain't build the same, they plastic. I'm counting all these blessings. You blessed, you got family. They got your bag like Hanley. That's break the plate till you have it. No matter what they standing. Ain't subtract the haters, they ain't worth nothing. About riches, I want treasures. I'm Poker Jones and I'm focused on just counting all my blessings.
I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings. I'm counting all my blessings.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, everybody. This is Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday of She Talk Radio. And what you have just heard was Counting All My Blessings by Poker Jones. That's right. Poker Jones has the Indie Artist Spotlight today. Poker, welcome to the Indie Artist Spotlight segment of She Talk Radio. How are you today?
I'm blessed and I'm thankful to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, so glad to have you here, and thank you for blessing us with that song. Why don't we start off by you telling me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm originally from Georgia, raised here in Atlanta. Had a couple of troubles, a couple of run-ins. You know how it is being a misfit coming up as a child, and made a lot of bad choices and decisions. But the good thing about making bad choices and decisions, if you pay attention, you'll learn from them. So I dropped out of school in 11th grade, and my grandma was raising me at the time, so she was sick, and her last dream was for me to get my education. So I went back. I went back to school, got my education, because that's what she wanted me to do, but she also died in the process of me going to school. So without her pushing me and wanting better for me, I wouldn't have got my education. I fell back to the streets. I mean, all this is in my song. If you listen to the song, Counting All My Blessings, this is what I talk about with my grandma. When she passed, you know, before she died, she said, go back to school. And I looked at that as a blessing from God because I wouldn't have pushed myself at the time. But, you know, when a child don't have their parents, you know, you're going to kind of take a lot of detours in life that you don't supposed to go, a lot of roads that people going to lead you down that you don't supposed to go down. So I met a lot of bad people, made a lot of bad decisions, ended up facing time in prison, went to jail for drugs and just craziness. And that's when I discovered my passion for music. So when I got out, I started doing music and trying to be the best I could be at music. So the blessing in going to jail was actually finding my passion for music.
Fantastic. It's good that even though we go through some hard times, if we can look at it and take the good out of it, and we can take that and share it with other people, we're actually preventing them from taking that same road. So I think that what you're doing, taking your emotions and your experience and putting it into your music is fantastic. You know, my first time hearing your song was at the Music Business Empowerment Conference. And it that song came out at the right time for me. And let me tell you why. We had been at that conference, as you know, for like four straight days. And I was exhausted. I was tired. And it was that Sunday, and I was moving kind of slow, okay? But then all of a sudden, you came out with that song, and it woke me up. It totally woke me up. It's one of those songs that make you, you look at, you know, the world with, and you see the glass is half full as opposed to half empty. So you're looking on the positive side of life. And you know what? That's where you get your power from, where you get the strength from, looking at what you've gone through and that you made it through it, as opposed to, oh, man, look what I'm going through. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So that's what I like about your song. There's a lot of other things I like about your song. So it's so engaging. It involves the audience. Now, tell me, you know, most people think that a song that glorifies God only belongs in the church. But you've done something with this song that allows it to cross over genres. What do you think? This may be a hard question, but I'm going to ask the questions anyway because that's what we do at She Talk. We ask the hard questions. What do you think you put into that song that allows it to be played anywhere pretty much?
Well, what I did before I actually wrote the song, I had to ask myself what a lot of artists should do before they just adopt somebody else's style. I asked myself, how did you want the world to see you? When you make this song or when you make these records, this is how people going to see you. So from a third person, I stepped out of myself and I looked at myself how somebody else would see me once I became this image. I said, okay, I'm going to write a song called Counting on My Blessings, but what am I put in it? And it was a real battle. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a real fight because I'm from the streets. I'm from the streets. I'm, you know, at the end of the day, we have an image to uphold. But me being old and me coming into my 30s now, I'm looking at, I started looking at life and music and people around me in more of a, how can I say it? Not a spiritual, not a religious, but a godly light. I had more respect for people. I got more respect for myself. So I didn't want to bring that out misleading. I just told my story. I put my passion, I put my stories, my life, and the whole time I was writing, I kept telling myself, because I erase so much. I write a song like a person that paint a picture. I make mistakes. I go back and I erase. I don't get high and drunk like a lot of artists say they do and go in the booth. No, I actually sit down and study my words. I write. You know, I only write when I have a thought. I only write when it comes to me. When God bless me with a lyric, no matter where I'm at, I write it down then, and I paste it together like a picture. That's how I write my music in pieces. So every time I felt a story or every time I felt something that I went through that hit me the most in my heart, I say, yeah, I'm putting that right there in the song too. From my uncle getting off dope, from my grandma going through what she went through, from me having all my hardships, just everything. I put it all in one record, and I did that for the people. I wanted people to be like, it's okay to share who you are. Here's a funky beat that you could jam to or ride to or dance to or whatever. But at the same time, the message is for you and your life, and I hope it helped you. Period.
Wow. And, you know, that brings me to my next question. You know, there are so many rappers out there that are, you know, doing music that's putting women down. It's a lot of rappers. They're actually good at what they do, but they can't come onto the show because this is a empowerment show for women.
Right.
So there's no way that we can allow anyone on the show who's going to put women down. So my question to you, which you may or may not answer because it's not really about you because you haven't taken that route. A lot of the rappers are taking the route to put women down. And then, unfortunately and surprising to me, there are a lot of people who are actually accepting this music. And in some cases, it's women. Why do you suppose people do that?
Well, see that's going on now is more of a follower situation. There's no artist that's currently out or coming out now that started that style. They are just imitating and mimicking what they see. I hear a lot of good writers. I run into a lot of great artists, and they are so good, and I won't even name any. I'm talking about highly educated, college degrees and everything, never even been to jail, but they look at the situations that blacks are in. They look at the situation that the minorities are in, and they see money. I hate to say it, but it's profit in selling out your hood by talking about it and put it on a pedestal. It's money in that. It's a lot of money talking negative, and the young cats and the cats that's out see that and know that. But if you sit back and look at some of these artists and you look into their life personally, you're looking at college-educated people. You're looking at people with no jail records. So you have to ask yourself, what's really going on? It's more of a business, I hate to say it. It'll stop when the dollar stops. But at the end of the day, the people make all the decisions and make you who you are. So once the people start kind of not accepting certain things, it won't be any money there. But it's greed that has taken over the music industry, because if you go back and you look when music first started, it wasn't that much money in it, and people and artists live by certain codes. I wasn't alive back in the time, but in my grandmother's days, I remember looking at the interviews of every single great entertainer that ever came out. I don't care who they are. They always say they came out of the church, and I'm not trying to put the church on a pedestal because I'm not a religious person. I'm just saying these people came from God first. And once you come from God first, you're not just going to move or say anything, even when it comes to your business and your music, because you're going to keep God first. And I think that's what's lost in everything that's going on. And once again, I'm not a religious person. I'm just a realist, and I see what life is really about. And that's what we're going through right now in the black society with our music and us being misled by our own people. That is only greed, because if it wasn't money being made, these cats would really come out and they would talk about their pain and what they're really going through in real life, because we all know majority of them, 97% of them, is not living like that. This is business. A record deal is a loan. You have to make that money good. Yes. That's all it is. That's all it is. So at the end of the day, it's more of an image that black society and the artists are caught up in. And hopefully it'll break one day and these cats become they self. Because just imagine if every artist wrote what they really felt and they talked about who they really were. We amongst the gods, like we already are. We just don't recognize ourselves.
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of them, what they're doing is they're selling out with their music by pretending to be something that they're not, as opposed to being exactly who they are, and that's what we need in our society. But unfortunately, nobody's getting paid for doing that. You're getting paid for downing women. So
it's deeper than just us, too. It's deeper than just us. I mean, if you're going to do something, go all the way to the source. Like I say, I'm a realist, and I don't bite my tongue. If you really want to know the 100% truth about why it's like the way it is in our music and why the artist is being glorified as the one that talked the most negativity, it's because of white supremacy. It's because of white supremacy. I'm going to keep it all the way real. If you go all the way to the core of music, if you go to the core of record deals, if you go to the core of record companies, you won't find a black face. You'll find people that don't even want nothing to do with black people. They only look at dollars. They don't care nothing about you. They just see money. And they don't care who they exploit. They don't care what they do. It's some very evil people that run this industry. Listen to Michael Jackson before he died. Listen to what he told you. He started naming people, and he started calling these people the devil themselves. Just imagine what he was going through. You know what I mean? It's a very bad thing. The higher you get in the music industry, you'll start to see some of these things, but you have to make a conscious decision of what type of message you want to put out. Do you want to be famous? Because we already know fame and money is two different things. Some of the richest entertainers,
right,
it is out, are not famous. You have to do and live and be a part of a certain society to be famous. You can be famous and not even be rich. So you have to ask yourself, when you're an entertainer, do you want to be famous? Or do you want to be successful? But don't accept fame, because that's when you're doing the devil's work.
I think that's just what's going on with us. I'm so glad that we have rappers like you that are out there who's putting out a positive, uplifting message. And I am going to continue to bring you onto the show to give us some positive music, because you know, sometimes you got to show people the way things ought to be done, and they'll know that there is another way of doing things as opposed to the way they've been doing. So, you know, if a listener wants to get a hold of you, how can they contact you? You are in social media, right?
Yeah, everyone. I'm on everything you could type in on the computer. All my social networks are the same. I give that same advice to every artist. Polka Jones. That's advice for everybody. Make it easy for people to find you. Make all your social networks the same. Make all your contacts the same.
Yeah, they all got different numbers and stuff and different names.
Yeah, don't do that.
That
make it hard for people to find you.
Exactly. So
because that's how it's going to be in the future anyway. Your signature, your ID, and everything going to be like is your at. That's they pretty much prepping you for the future anyway. So at Polka Jones is who I'll always be.
Polka Jones. He's Polka Jones everywhere, everybody. Twitter, Facebook. Do you have a website?
Yep, PolkaJones.com, and you can also hit me up at artistecard.com/PolkaJones. So Polka Jones everything. Just put that in your Google search and you see hard work in progress.
About Polka Jones will come up. So do you have
ma'am.
Any upcoming performances or projects in the near future?
Yes, I do. I try to stay booked. Not as much right now. I'm not accepting as many bookings because I got a newborn little girl at home. You know, she.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much. She turns 4 months old this weekend, so I have a lot going on. This next week is the Impact Awards, and it's a very big show. It's for people that's impacted in the neighborhood. It's just for people that's trying to empower and uplift each other. And they picked me in the record, so I'll be performing live and accepting my award.
All right, congratulations.
Yeah, Impact Award. And if anybody's available in the city and they want to be a part of it, any media, bloggers, or anybody that want to come have a good time and from some good, inspiring people, it'll be at the Ramada Hotel, downtown Atlanta. Hit up Mr. Michael Coleman all over the internet for tickets also, Mr. Michael Coleman.
All right. So, guys, that was Polka Jones with his single, Counting All My Blessings. Polka, thank you for joining us on She Talk Radio. We really enjoyed the conversation, and we enjoyed your song. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you
that
for
was
having
in
me.
The Artist Spotlight segment of She Talk Radio, where we give 15 minutes of fame to an independent artist every weekday at 6:30. Until next time, goodbye.
Peace.
This is Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday of Real Talk. I'd like to thank my guests and you, the listeners. We have just completed another spectacular episode of She Talk, the radio show making a difference in communication. So get in on the conversation.